We celebrate today the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, which we acknowledge is a huge event in the life of St. Paul, as conversion is a huge event in anyone's life, but it's also a huge event in the history of the church and arguably in the history of the whole world, because with the conversion of Paul, the evangelization of the Gentiles took a new turn. And with the evangelization of the Gentiles came the establishment of Christianity, at least in the West. And with Christianity in the West, a change in the whole development of civilization. So this feast celebrates the experience of one person, and also of one community, of one church, and also of the whole world. Which tells us a little bit about conversion. We tend to think of conversion as a very unique personal experience, and it is, but no conversion stands in isolation from everything else and everyone else. You might think of the experience of Paul's companions. Sure, Paul's the one who fell to the ground and heard the voice and saw the light, but what about everybody else who was with him? What did they experience? Some accounts say that they saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. Some accounts say that they heard the voice, but they didn't see any light. They certainly saw Paul falling to the ground. They certainly saw something happen, and they knew that his life changed. So they were also affected. We don't know exactly how. Or you can think of Ananias, whose life was certainly changed when Paul was converted. Well, in thinking about conversion, we can go back to yesterday's gospel, the call of the first four apostles, Peter and Andrew and James and John. That's still fresh in my mind because it was yesterday, and also because it's on the front cover. So I keep seeing this picture of Jesus calling the apostles, the fishermen, come after me and I will make you fishers of men. That account that we heard yesterday, near the very beginning of Mark's gospel, makes it seem as if the conversion moment of those four men happened all at the same time and all in the same way. But that's because the gospel summarized what happened. And it reduced the experience of vocation to its most basic elements. God calls, man responds. And it's true, that pattern is true for everybody. God calls, we respond, or we fail to respond. So if you can apply that to anybody. Peter and Andrew and James and John, Matthew, Paul, or anybody. God calls, man responds. But once we look into the personal experience, we realize, even though the basic elements are the same for everyone, the experience is completely different for everyone. Peter's experience was not the same as Andrew's. You know the account, Andrew met the Lord first, and he's the one who told Peter. So there was a lot going on in the background, and then a lot going on inside. What one person experiences in the journey of conversion is unique to him or her. Those four men yesterday, again, the very beginning of Mark's gospel, are examples of being called. But they're not the only examples. Today we get another example, St. Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, who is very suddenly called. A light very suddenly shines on him, and he realizes that what he's been doing in persecuting those strange followers of the dead Nazarene is actually persecution of Jesus himself, who speaks to him from heaven. Paul says, well, who are you? He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's doing. Who are you, sir? I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. So it's a conversion moment. A conversion moment is an encounter with the Lord, a personal encounter with the Lord. And because every person is unique, every conversion is unique. Conversion is sometimes thought of as a one-time event, because in the case of Paul and in many people, there is a significant turning point in one moment. But conversion is also the journey of a lifetime. We continue to follow the Lord. We continue to encounter Him, to experience light shining on us, correcting us and also guiding us. Which is why the gospel chosen for this feast is not the gospel that we had yesterday. It's kind of striking when you think, oh, here's a feast of a conversion. Maybe we should have a passage, something like we heard yesterday, Jesus proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Oh, a call to conversion. If anything, it's a call to conversion. That's the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. But on this feast day, we don't read from the beginning of the Gospel, we read from the end of the Gospel. Jesus appears to the 11. This is after the resurrection. And he tells them, not repent and believe, he tells them, go into the whole world and proclaim the Gospel to every creature. What this tells us is that conversion is never an event for its own sake. No one is called for his own sake alone. Even though conversion is a deeply personal experience, it's always connected to mission. When someone is called to repent and believe, they are at that very same moment called to be fishers of men. When Paul is knocked down and told, you're persecuting me, in that very moment, he experiences the call to go forth and bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, he doesn't understand it all at once, and no one does, but you can't separate conversion from mission. Here in the Philippines, this is being celebrated in this 500th anniversary of the arrival of Christianity. You know the theme of this fifth centenary year, gifted to give. Gifted to give. Because God doesn't give a gift only for us to receive. He gives it for us to receive and to give. So conversion, yes, so that we know the Lord. But conversion is connected to mission, so that others know the Lord through us. Paul is the most dramatic and famous example of that. Once he meets the Lord, he becomes an unstoppable evangelist. He just goes everywhere. In fact, people are confused and amazed that this man who was persecuting the church is suddenly proclaiming the very faith he was trying to destroy. They're a little bit nervous about him. You know, the stories of St. Paul in the beginning. The Christians weren't quite sure they wanted him around because he was a persecutor. And the Jews didn't want him around because he was acting like a Christian. So he didn't fit in anybody's category anymore. But this is what it was. His conversion bore good fruit because he put it into practice. He was gifted to give. He was converted so that he could be sent forth on his mission. This tells us about ourselves. The Word of God is always speaking to us personally. We don't read the story of four fishermen being called by Jesus simply because it's a nice story. We read it because it is a word to us about us being called. We don't celebrate the conversion of Paul because it's a nice story, it's a great thing that happened to Paul. We ponder it because this is the same story that applies to us. We are those called to conversion, to turn away from persecuting and start evangelizing. So this is a celebration of one event. It's also a celebration of a world event. It's also a call to a personal conversion, a continuation of our personal journey of conversion, so that we ourselves gain the benefit of being followers. We are baptized and we believe and we're saved, and so that others will also gain that priceless benefit, gifted to give. It's a pretty good theme for this 500th anniversary, but it's also a good theme for the conversion of St. Paul. He was gifted, extraordinarily gifted, but he also gave to an extraordinary degree. And that's what all of us are. We are gifted, and we are called to give.